Because a lot of times we hear about the men of the Bible, and I sat down yesterday and today and just started going over a few of the ladies in the Bible, and then we're going to talk about Timothy in a moment. How many of you have ever heard of Deborah? Deborah was a lady that led the armies of Israel into battle. Judges chapter 4. Read the story. It gets a little gory. How many ever heard of a lady by the name of Jael? How many know what Jael did to Caesarea? Same chapter. The Israeli armies led by Deborah defeated Caesarea, and Jael slipped into his tent and put a nail in his forehead. Might hurt. These women were amazingly instrumental in winning the battle. How many of you have ever heard of Esther? Yeah. Esther made an amazing statement as she was preparing to go before the king, not knowing if she'd survive that or not. But she said, who knows? Maybe God has put me in this place for a time like this. How many of you are in a place right now for a time like this? Lydia, in Acts chapter 15 and 16, verses 15 and 16, housed the apostle Paul. And she came to him very sheepishly, and she asked him, she said, if you think we're worthy, come and stay with us. And Paul did. She provided the things that Paul needed. And how many ever heard of Mary, the mother of Jesus? How many realize that after Jesus was death and ascended into heaven, after the resurrection, she was in the upper room. She was in the upper room waiting to be filled with the Holy Spirit with 119 other people. And so the Bible gives us some beautiful basis for women. And what I want to encourage you today, ladies and men, take a step deeper. Just take a step deeper. That's what this morning was all about. Just going deeper. Deeper in your relationship with God. Deeper in your gifting. Deeper in your ministry that God has called you into. We never reach a plateau in this Christian life. We just keep climbing. And how wonderful it is. Now, after all that, you can go with me to 2 Timothy. I wasn't part of the Exodus in Genesis Exodus, but I'm part of an Exodus at Christian Outreach Center this morning. But I want you to pick up something here. And I'm not going to keep you very long, but I'm going to keep you for a while. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, in chapter 1, verse 1, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your fears, that I may be filled with joy, tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. There's only three books in the Bible, and Paul wrote all three, that says grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. Only three. Two to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, and the third one is to Titus. Timothy was the pastor of the largest church in the world when Paul wrote to him. And in 1 Timothy, Timothy was overwhelmed with what God was doing, and Paul just wrote a letter to encourage him. In the second book of Timothy, everything had changed. The Roman government had changed their stance toward the church. People were being captured, imprisoned, and killed. And the largest church in the world began to decline because his followers started to abandon the church because of the fear of death in their families and went back to the pagan temples. And like anyone would be, Timothy came into a place of fear. He came into a place of doubt. And Paul writes to encourage him because he was being overwhelmed by what was happening to his people. And Paul writes to him these words, which are so amazing when you put it in context. He says in verse number 5, "When I call to remembrance a genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother, Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." So Paul is coming to Timothy and saying, your grandma went through some things, but God was faithful. Your mother went through some things, but God was faithful. And he's telling him in a roundabout way, the things that you are going through, God will be faithful. It's kind of like that, what we heard this morning. In whatever is happening in your life, whatever you're going through, whatever you're looking at, whatever is stirring in your lives, God's grace and mercy and peace are in there in abundance, and his faithfulness will never cop out on you. God never turns his back. God never walks away. God never comes to a place of saying, you know, they can get through this on their own. That's not God. And so Timothy was being challenged by his spiritual father to stand. Even though the hurts and the pains and the crisis of seeing your people put to death would be a stigma. Something else here. Mothers today. Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice had instilled something in this young man. They imparted something. He says, I know the faith that was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you as well. I want you to stop and think for a moment of what we're imparting into our children and our grandchildren. What are you giving them? What do they take from out of the home? What do they see? And when they face the challenges of life, can we look at things and say, well, we went through this stuff at home. And we instilled within you faith. We instilled within you confidence. We instilled within you trust. There's nothing out there to be afraid of. There's nothing out there that you can't stand against in the name of Jesus. There's nothing out there. No matter what the enemy is doing, you are solid in Christ. You know, there's a lot of parents now who want to be their kids' friends, but kids need parents. They need friends, but they need parents. They need people who will lay their hands on their children and impart the things of the Spirit. Impart the things of the Spirit that is going to rise them up. Let them stand. Let them walk. Let them face the issues of the day. I was reading a book yesterday, and the pastor was talking about his children who are going in the ministry or in college. And he was just saying, I want to find churches churches that will preach the truth, churches that will recognize the giftings and the things of my children so that they're not ruined from what they came out of. And as your children leave, and your children, and you come to a place of an empty nest, always be aware of the fact that as you're walking with the Lord, you've imparted things in those children that's going to let them overcome in college, that's going to give them faith with whatever they're doing, that is going to allow them the opportunity to stand for Jesus. And you may say, I don't see it. You always don't see it right away, do you? Larry, come here, man. I'm putting him on the spot. I never told him I was going to do this. This is crazy. Every morning, almost every morning, I have coffee with Larry. Tell him what's going on with Selena in the Lord.
Oh, she's really serving the Lord now and praying for her husband every day and has a family. They're getting closer. And you talk about prayers being answered. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. I'm here every single morning on my knees before the Lord, asking the Lord to come into her heart. And things happen. Not as fast as I'd like, but it is happening. And Selena is serving the Lord in a big way. And praise the Lord. Amen. Don't ever give up in prayer. Amen. The Lord answers.
Debbie, you okay? You want to say something? But you know something? Sometimes we just throw up our hands and say, what's the use? I mean, I don't know how many years Larry's been coming in most mornings, or I've been here most mornings. And there's a lot of prayer that went up for Selena. But God is faithful. Amen. Understand that. You may see your kids back for a while, but you'll see their face one day. And things will change because you were faithful in praying for them, in ministering to them, in lifting them up, in encouraging them. And it doesn't happen all the time real quick. But as you train up your child, as you impart faith, as they see that faith in you, as they see the things coming, expect miracles. Please, never curse your kids. Never tell them they're no good or they're not going to amount to nothing or you can't build them up. You can't build them up enough. I remember the story listening to a man one day, and he was telling me he went to school with a Jewish boy. And every day his mom would ask him, "Do you have your lunch?" And every day when he stopped to pick up the Jewish boy's mother would say, "Do you have your books?" Jewish boy came home with a bad grade one day, and he went to get him in the morning, and he heard his mom telling him, "Well, that school just don't know how to teach geniuses." Stir up the gift for all of us. For all of us. You know, that word stir up the gift is coming to a place where you kindle a fire. You know, if you've been camping, you know how you don't take the biggest log in the world and light a match to it, hope it burns. But you start out with the small stuff. You start out with a little thing, a little paper or something, a little, you know, that squirty stuff really works good to get a fire started, you know. I think when we were in the hills with Tony and Angie, we went through a can one night, just keeping the fire going. But stir up the gifts. God is blessed. And Paul's talking to Timothy, and he tells him a little bit, don't go into fear. Don't get fearful. For God didn't give you that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But he says, I want to call to your remembrance. I want to repeat something to you I've told you before is what that actually means. I want to repeat something I've talked to you about before. I want you to call to remembrance the gift that you have through the laying on of my hands. And I want you to stir that gift up. And don't focus on all the circumstances. Don't focus on the things around us. But focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. And as you walk through this life, God has given to every single person alive a measure of faith. And he's given us the choice of how we're going to handle that faith. We can put it in all kinds of other things. But he tells us to put it in him. I was on Facebook the other day and got an email from somebody that was down, really down. And as I was going to answer her, the only thing that came to mind was this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. He directed Timothy's path. He directed Paul's path. He directed all the New Testament saints' path, and he's doing the same for us. And as you watch your children, as you watch your grandchildren, keep that prayer in mind over them and live that life so beautifully in Christ with the hope that's set before us that our children will step in and take over where we leave off. I'd like to close with Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and I believe it's verse 13. And this is our benediction this morning. And it says this, if it's not underlined in your Bible, just underline it. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are so amazing. We bless every mother in the name of Jesus. And we honor them today on this special day. Thank you for your blessings and your hope and your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.